do. All right, you mind the Lord tonight. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Had a good revival, and I do believe that we have got help from the Lord. But now what do? We need to continue on. We need to go on tonight, and we need to keep revival in our mind and our heart. If you remember last year, we had revival with Dennis Legg, and I kept up on the wall, keep that revival spirit. I kept it up there for months and months. And wanted everybody to keep that in their mind. And it's the same way now. We need to have this revival. It should not last a week. It ought to last for a while. And it's not going to happen if we just sit. Right? We have to. We don't work for our salvation. We know that. That's God's grace. But there's some things that's expected of us as we grow. You've got to eat. You've got to rest. You've got to do certain things as a baby to grow and for things to happen. It ain't always playtime. It's not always that. But there's some things that are expected. So let's look tonight. We'll try to help if you listen. We're going to try to help you. And if you don't get all this tonight, then go back and watch it again and watch it continually and let us continue in this. Everybody all right with that? So let's look tonight. Let's pray together. Father, I come. You're so good. And we praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, it's not good to some of us. You're good to all of us. And you give us far more than we deserve, Lord, and far more than we've never earned nothing. You just keep dishing it out. And, Lord, we just want you to know we love you and appreciate you. Help us, Lord, never to forget. Help us not to be unthankful. Oh, God, I pray that we might be more thankful every day. And if nothing else, Lord, we can do that much. Father, I pray now, open our mind and our heart. As we listen to your word, we see your word, and Lord, the simplicity that's in your scripture helps us, Lord, if we'll just read it and take it. So, Lord, I pray that you may get glory. Let the word of God have free course. Please cleanse me from anything that would be displeasing to you. Touch me fresh tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, and amen. Now, since we've had revival and we think about what to do, I want us to look here to one. We're going to look at a little passage here, but we're going to concentrate on one verse. Let's look here at verse 42, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We're going to read these, seven verses here. We're going to read these because they go together, but we want to concentrate on verse 42 tonight. So let's read here together. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now, there's a couple things there to start with. Verse 42 says, "And they continued." And verse 46 says, "And they continuing." So that's what we want to look on. How are we going to continue this? How are we going to move on and continually have this in our mind and our heart when it comes to revival? If I look up the word continue, it simply means to persist in an activity or a process. I need to persist. I need to stay at it. All right, everybody understand that? We just need to stay at it. Now, there's some things that we need to go forward with that we can't do right now, but we need to have it in our mind to go forward with in the work of this church and the growth of this church. And it's not going to be to stay as we are. It's to move on. To go where God has already told us to go. to do what he's already told us to do. We got to sometimes we got to delay, but it don't change what God has said. You understand? We may delay. We may have to wait. Sometimes you have to wait on God. But when it comes to growing with the Lord and being revived in the Lord, then there's no waiting necessary. We need to get up and go. And that's what we will look at. Now, when we look at this, let's look back at verse 42, and then we'll ask you some questions and give you three thoughts and quit. It says, and they continued steadfastly, and they continued steadfastly. Now, who are they? Well, Pentecost was just taking place. In a sense, they had a wonderful revival. There was already some disciples, 120 some or so, gathered. And the Lord showed up in a great way, as we would term it nowadays. And then Peter preached afterwards, and 3,000 got saved there in one day. I think they might have been a little stirred. I don't know about you. What would 3,000 saved in a day do to you? I think there would be a little stir, don't you think? It might be a little bit of excitement in their mind, their heart, not knowing what all to do. Young Christians, that's 3,000 new converts quickly that ain't going to know nothing to do. You got 120 that's been with the Lord for 4 years in the doctrine that he was teaching. They're just learning what to do. And now there's people getting saved daily. They don't know what to do. So there's a lot going on. So what happened? What made them keep on? Because when you read through the book of Acts, it never quit. It just kept on and kept on and kept on. And when you read about the working of the church there at Jerusalem, and some say they was 10,000 members. I've read where some say they was upwards of 100,000 members at the first church in Jerusalem, even though it wasn't a church building like this. But there was that many converts because what they 3,000 saved, and how many was saved later? 5,000 saved or so. After that, 8,000 in 2 days. Well, they was getting saved daily. All right, so it wouldn't take long to get 100,000 in a few months, in a year. And they was going from house to house, having church in the houses all over Jerusalem. So that was how that was growing. And then the missionaries they sent out and the work was done in all the other churches being founded, all because of what continued right here in this verse 42. Is everybody with me? Now, when we think of what we just had revival. And people would be skeptical and say, yeah, but you didn't have what they had. But we got the same God. We got the same Holy Ghost. Right? All right, we got the same Bible. Right? We got the same message. We still okay? So there's no reason we can't go ahead and claim what went on and just keep on going. All right? Now, we may not have seen 3,000 saved this past week, but it don't mean we ain't going to. I don't know how you pray. I pray for Summersville to come to Christ. I believe Summersville may have a lot of Christians in it. I know there's a lot of people that say they're saved, sure ain't living like it, in leadership for the decisions that they're making because they're making evil decisions. All right? Now, so whether they're saved or not, that's between them and the Lord. But if there's 6,000 people in city limits and there's 28,000 in the county, then I have no problem believing God for 3,000 people. All right? You might. I don't. Okay? 48,000 in Fayette County, 28,000 in Nicholas County, near 20,000 in Braxton County, and that's where our ministry's at. So 3,000 shouldn't be a problem. But what I want you to understand, we'll never see that if we don't continue ourselves. Okay? So let me ask you a couple questions here. And these are some of you, you ought to write it down because you need to ask yourself these questions. Don't ask me, but you need to ask yourself these questions. Are you with me? Now, the first question is, what impact did the revival have on you? What impact did the revival have on you? Now, it don't matter what it done to somebody else. What did it have on you? You come, what did it have on you? What did it do to you? Huh? Think about that. Now, ask yourself, how did the Holy Spirit direct me, or what did He direct me to do or change in my life? How did He direct me? Did He direct me? Can I tell you that when we come to church and the Word of God is preached, it ought to get you to stop something or start something? Do you know that? But think about that. If the Word of God is preached, and if we read the Word of God correctly, it ought to move us to do something or stop something. Okay? I don't believe it'll be there just for us to go to sleep on. I don't believe that. All right? So what did the Holy Spirit, or how did the Holy Spirit direct you? Now, let me ask you this then. What will you have to do to fulfill the directions that He led you? What are you going to have to do? Now, this is what the Lord wants me to do. Now, how am I going to do it? Is everybody still with me? Now, if you didn't get nothing out of the revival, then I'm glad you was here, but I don't know why you would stick your fingers in your ears and clog up your heart and not get something. So I believe everybody got something. You know, I don't believe we could have what we had this week. Now, you say, well, I've been in better revivals. Well, you ain't never been in one like this past week. You've never been in one like that. You know? You've never heard no better preaching. You've never been told no plainer truth. You know, so you think about that. Say, well, I like others. Well, I like other things too. I like wide open services. I don't like nobody. I don't like empty pews. All right? You know what I'm going to keep on doing? Continuing. I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to continue to preach. And I'm going to continue to tell you how to live and what to do and what not to do. And then if you don't do it, that's your business. But I'm going to keep on doing. I've determined, especially this week, Monday night helped me. I was going to tell you, Monday night helped me more than the rest of the week when he preached about continuing my miracle. Because I'll just be honest with you, I thought, well, maybe I'll just move out of the way. That's what was on my heart and my mind. I said, we'll see how this week goes, and I'll just get out of the way. Huh? But he said, no. He said, continue in your miracle. And then I got to thinking about what God has already done and what God has showed me. So I've got a little bit more light. Now let's go with it now. And I'm going to continue in the miracle, okay? But what I ain't going to do is lay down and die. I ain't going to do that. All right? So let's look here. It said, now what am I going to have to do to fulfill what the Lord told me? Now listen to this. This is another question to ask yourself. What will I need to do to keep putting gas in my tank for revival? What am I going to have to do to keep putting gas in my tank? Don't fill your neighbor's tank. You can't run off what your neighbor's got. Right? What are you going to do to keep gas in your tank to keep you going? What does it take to keep you going? Think about that. That's simple questions. Is it not? So let's look here at the scripture again, and then we'll give you a couple, three thoughts here. All right? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 42 gives us exactly what is necessary for us to continue. Simple, all laid out, ready-made outline right there in the verse. This is what we need to do to continue. But like we preached this morning, you either will or you won't. You're going to have to do it. I've determined after all these almost 40 years now, going on 40 years of preaching, pastoring, right, I can't do it for you. Can't make you faithful. Can't make you get saved. Can't make you put God first. Can't make you pray. Can't make you read the Bible. Can't make you give. It don't matter. I can't make you do anything. All I can do is preach you the Word of God, and then you are responsible for responding. If you respond correctly, there's reward. If you respond negatively, there is loss. Just that simple. If you respond harshly, there's chastisement. We still okay? So think about that. So let's look. What's it going to take? Well, the first thing that they did, this is the first thing that they did, is they got serious about God's Word. They got serious about it. They didn't read His Word. They got serious about it. How do I know that? Because it says that they're in the first sentence. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles. It didn't mean that they got in line and went to a church and preached the Bible. No, they personally continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The Word of God that was taught and preached is what they determined that they was going to continue in steadfastly. That means with effort, continuing with that steadfastly means they're not going to waver, they're going to get in it. Huh? Get in it. Think about it. That's the first thing. And that's what's going to have to be done. You say, well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Don't use the word can't when it comes to serving God. That shouldn't even be in your vocabulary unless you're talking about I can't sin. I can't do it. It bothers me. Then that's okay. But when it comes to what you can do for the Lord, you can do. Because He's done told us we could do it. Because greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. But we got to determine to do it. Listen, it ain't going to come easy. It's like being married. It don't come easy. There's give and take. There's things that has to be worked on and concentrated on. Has to be. And if it ain't, then there's trouble at the house. Is that not right? Can I tell you that it don't take much anymore for love to grow cold in the home? It don't take much in the house of God for love to grow cold. Huh? There's some things that's got to be contingent. You know, some of us men, you know, we might say, oh, I got her now, I don't have to worry about loving on her. Well, that's not true. That's not true. And same way with the Lord. Huh? I don't love on Him, then Jesus said that the love of many is going to wax cold. Huh? Well, we're in that day now. So we're going to have to determine to do some things, huh? Not to go back to sleep. What was it we watched last Sunday night? As we listened to that preacher last Sunday night, he said, "Awake, sleepy Christians." When Ian Paisley spoke in words, his mighty, mighty words, huh? Wake up, sleepy Christians! Huh? Awake, awake! Unto righteousness. That's not what he said last Sunday night. Do you remember that? It's how it started. Huh? We can't go back to sleep. Huh? Dust to continue around. We're going to have to wake up. We can't go back to sleep. We've got to continue on. All right? And it's going to be by the Word of God. We're going to have to pay attention to what God said. God wrote this down for us to live it. And we are to live what this book said. And understand, we're going to be judged by what this book says. We're not going to be judged by what we think, what we thought that was good. We're not going to be judged by what somebody told us. We're going to be judged according to the things that's in this book. That's how come He preserved it. That we can have it. Because everybody can have the same thing and be judged by the same standard. Huh? So I think we probably ought to study for the test. What do you think? We ought to study for the test. Huh? And we might get by. I don't want to get by. I'm tired of just getting by. You ever been just tired of getting by? I'm tired of just getting by. Want some extra. Huh? We still okay? Now, we can't look to the world. We're going to have to apply this book to ourselves. We're so easy to apply what the world says instead of what God's Word says. We'll apply an old wives' tale. We'll apply some kind of traditional thought. And well, I know that's what the Bible says, but is that not how we do? Well, now listen, preacher. That's awful tough. I know that's what the Bible says, but well, can I tell you that's really not smart? Huh? I didn't say nothing else. See, I was not. Doug, I got that niceness from Doug. Huh? Romans 12:2 tells us that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Holy and acceptable unto the Lord. I can't do that without this book. I've told you this year, I've told you time in and time out already that the Gospels are wonderful. The Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are wonderful books of encouragement, ways of salvation, shows me the cross, shows me who God is. Oh, that's wonderful. We got to have it, and it's the foundation of everything. But the epistles tell me how to live. The epistles tell me how to live after I get saved. Acts shows me the power of God. The gospel shows me God and the cross and redemption. Acts shows me the power of God, and the epistles shows me how to live. I can't know how to live if I don't read what he says. And if you're not going to read it, then you can't miss Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday. If you're not going to read it, then you can't miss. Are you hearing me? Because if you miss, then you're not going to get it. If you're not going to read it yourself, then you come and me and Rick and Dennis will read it to you. Huh? But we got to get serious about the Word of God. And seek obedience. Seek how we can obey God. Have you ever sought how to obey someone, how to please someone? You know, some children will grow up and they got such love and respect for their parents that they seek how to obey. They want to obey. They want to please mom and dad. Huh? You understand what I'm saying? Do we seek to obey the Lord? Ways that I can mind him. Ways that I can do what he says. Huh? He done enabled us. He done enabled, give us everything to live a godly life. That's what Peter wrote. We still okay? So the first thing is they got serious about God's Word. It says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. People say, yeah, but you say that all the time because it's still true. It's been true, and it'll be true next Sunday, and I'm going to keep preaching it, and I'm going to keep telling you, and Rick's going to keep telling you, or asking, are you reading your Bible every day? And Dennis is going to keep preaching Bible readers' banquets and bragging on the Word and telling about the Word, and I'm going to keep preaching, and it's going to keep on, and somewhere down the line, maybe you'll quit refusing, and you'll start accepting the Word of God. Because all of us, me included, won't accept all of it yet. We're only accepting pieces of it. We're accepting the easy parts of it. We'll readily accept the easy parts. And when the tough parts come, we'll back off a little bit. But they got serious about it because they continued steadfastly. Wasn't no quit. Going hard at it. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Next thing. They was willing to grow in fellowship. All right? But listen to me now. Look at me. Not just grow in fellowship, but grow in fellowship with other growing Christians. Now, I'm not going to be mean here at all. But I'm going to tell you, if you're fellowshipping with somebody that's half in, you probably ought to change who you're fellowshipping with till they get all in. Because you're going to be half out if they're half out. Now, do I need to say that again? Do we understand? Do we understand? If you're fellowshipping with somebody that's half in, you probably ought to back off and start fellowshipping with somebody that's plumb in. Because if not, you're going to be half out. Huh? And you say, well, that's not loving your brethren. It is loving your brethren. I'm not telling you to quit loving anybody. I'm going to tell you to quit sitting down and fellowshipping and getting all their ideas and ways to quit. Are we okay with that? We'll suck up a negative a lot faster than we suck up a positive. Right. And that's what's going to be done. You say, well, how do you know that's what they've done? It says that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine first, and because of that, they continued in fellowship. They continued with what the Bible said. They continued in fellowship with what the Bible said. Now, these ones may be people who don't, and I'm not being judgmental. I'm just telling you, we ought to have enough sense to know who's in, who's out. Right? So, what we do is we encourage those that's half out and try to bring them in. Are you with me? But there's a difference in working with them and letting the influence overtake. We all right there? Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm not putting nobody down. I'm not saying about talking about self-righteous, trying to pick who's better and who's better. But can I tell you, if somebody don't go to church, I don't know that I would listen to any advice they give on anything. And that's not being harsh. That's being wise. I'm not going to people that don't go to church and ask them things that how I ought to be living or how I ought to be conducting myself or what I ought to do about this situation because they don't know. And I know that might seem a little tough, but to me it's just common sense. Huh? We okay still? I got tickled during revival. Doug preached about, you know, love. It's so easy. And I said, we ought to be in here the first 2 months of church. I didn't say nothing to him about it. I ain't even told him. And I preached on 2 months, the hardest preaching I ever done in 40 years. Huh? Was preaching on love for 2 months in a loving church. Huh? Close fellowship is vital. Let me tell you what we want to do. We're going to stick by ourselves. You stick by yourself, and then you'll be prey for the enemy. You need fellowship is vital with growing Christians. It's vital. That's why church attendance is vital. It's so important. Huh? Can I say something? And if it's just turn the dog around if the fur's been rubbed the wrong way, because it's just still the fact. Right? We'll fellowship with the world, with our church people, at our soccers and our basketballs and our baseballs, but we won't fellowship in the church house over spiritual things. We'll sit to ourselves and be quiet and don't group off in prayer, in little prayer meetings or prayer circles here at the church to come and pray about something, but we'll go spend the time hollering and screaming in the public and fellowship over unspiritual things. Fellowship with growing Christians. to grow in fellowship with growing Christians is vital, but not with sleepy Christians. How do I know it catches? If I yawn, will you? Huh? If I yawn 4 or 5 times, you're going to say, man, I'm wore out. True or not? Huh? It's true. It's a natural thing. So I just ain't gonna spend a lot of time with advice and all this with sleepy Christians. Because then I'll get sleepy. Huh? It don't sound like this is popular. They got serious about God's word, and then they was willing to grow in fellowship with growing Christians. So much fellowship. Turn to James 5:16 real quick. James 5:16. James 5:16. It says, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We'll run to the last part of the verse, but we don't run to the first part of the verse. And we ought to have close enough fellowship, and we ought to be spending time one with another in the house of God or away from the house of God, in our homes or wherever, that we are confessing our faults one to another, transparent, not judging someone else's faults, but confessing our own faults one to another, that we might grow in fellowship. Huh? See, confessing our faults one another will take away the self-righteousness of fellowship. Everybody understand that? We still okay? Are you hearing me? Transparent. That was a word I never heard of the word transparent being used in preaching until I went to California. Me and Cheryl and Jerry and Sherry and Boyd and Gene and a pile of us went out there to Doug Fisher's church to a meeting, a week of meeting, and they preached about being transparent in the church house, one with another, nothing hid, that people's faults were exposed and shown, and not judged, but prayed with one another. As it says here, is that not what it says? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. If you start confessing your faults one to another, it ain't going to take but just a split second that you're going to be praying together. Does everybody understand that? Think about that. Now you got to be careful how you do it, I'm sure. It'd be like the four preachers who went on their vacation. They thought they were all friends. They thought they'd get together. And they were sitting around one evening after a round of golf. And they started talking about this very thing, confessing their faults. One of them said, well, maybe that's what we need to do. And one of the men said, well, I tell you what, said, I was a bad drunkard before I got saved, and ain't long ago I went and snuck and took me a drink. Oh, brother, we sorry you failed, and they all made over him. Another said, well, I tell you, said I'll buy a lottery ticket. I think it helped things if I just had a little extra money, so I'll buy a lottery ticket. I'll gamble a little bit. And no, I said, oh man, that's, well, we understand that you don't need to do it. They encouraged him along. The next one said, well, I tell you, he said, I have trouble. Sometimes I have a wandering eye with the lady. He said, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. They looked at the other and said, what about you? He said, I'm a gossip. That ain't what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. You understand? I'm talking about getting together, fellowshipping, as they did in early church after revival, to keep the fire going and confessing faults one to another and praying with one another. Huh? That still works. That still works, huh? We still okay tonight. You know what was discussed when they met? I believe what was discussed, and I just have to look to Scripture to see, but if we turn to Acts chapter 4 right quick, turn to Acts chapter 4, and we'll see how they fellowshipped and what they discussed when they fellowshipped. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Let's look here just for a moment. Let's see. We don't have to go back and read very much. Let's start here at verse 20. It says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom the miracle of healing was showed." And now look at verse 23. "And being let go, they went," where'd they go? "To their own company. And reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." So they had a discussion on what was going on in the ministry and the work of that body. Everybody follow me? Look at verse 24. "And when they heard that, they lifted their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." If you just go right down, they prayed together. They talked about the ministry of the church. They didn't talk about one another. They talked about the ministry of the church and what was being done to them as they ministered for the Lord. And they had fellowship growing and growing. Is everybody understanding me tonight? We don't have that. If we fellowship any at all, we talk about the negative and who didn't do this and who didn't do that in the church and what's lacking. But no, we ought to talk about the positive and what God's doing. When's the last time we gathered up and just sat around the house with a cup of coffee, one with another, and bragged on what God was doing in the church house? But we're so busy. We're so busy, we don't take time to fellowship in the church. That's why you don't know everybody that comes to church. Can I tell you, if somebody's been coming a few weeks, it's understandable that we don't know who they are. But if somebody's been coming a few years, then it's not acceptable. If somebody's been coming a few years and you don't know them, shame. Shame. Huh? Let me say that again. If somebody's been coming for a few weeks and you don't know them, that's understandable. You can't see everybody. But if somebody's been coming a few years and you don't know them, shame on you. I'm talking about continuing to grow. You say, well, I can't remember everybody. You remember thousands of people. Tell me that. You remember people you went to church with in 10 different churches. Huh? You remember schoolmates and who you went to school and school teachers' names? Huh? You remember all the people you worked with and who run what piece of equipment and who was the nurse and who was the doctor delivered the babies? We remember. Don't nobody tell me you got a bad memory. I don't want to hear it. You remember what you want to remember. I just don't believe you got a bad one. If you had a bad one, you wouldn't know how to get home. You wouldn't know how to function. Nobody has to, how do I fry an egg? You was taught, you remembered. You say, well, it's not the same thing. Well, why ain't it? Do you try? Well, let me ask you this, and I'm not being sarcastic. I mean, Lord knows I'm not trying to be anyway. What if I didn't know who you was? What if every time you come to church and I give you a visitor's card? Huh? I mean, every time. Now, first three or four times, maybe, but what if I've done it for 20 years? Every time you come in, I've given you this. Been glad to have you. Glad to have you. Where do you go to church at? Here. How long have you been? Oh, about 20 years. Really? And you say, well, that's not the way it is, boy, is it? Let's take turns and stand up and everybody name everybody tonight. Let's take turns. Everybody stand up and give everybody's full name. First and last name. Can you do it? That's my point. We've got to continue growing in fellowship with growing Christians. Huh? Now, do I have an advantage? Do I have an advantage? Why would I have an advantage? Well, that's what you do. What? What do I do? Job as a preacher is to preach. I need to remember you who you are. We feel okay. I think we'll stand here and camp on this for a minute. Huh? Okay? We still okay? Huh? The reason I know who you are is because I pray for you. I write your name down and pray for you. Yeah? I call your name out. I don't say pray for this list. I call your name. Huh? And then I remember you. Hmm? I remember. Then I remember your kids. Then I remember what's wrong with you. Then I remember what you went through. Are you hearing me? You know why? Because I take time. You say, but yeah, but that's your job. Yeah, but I've always worked two jobs. Sometimes three jobs. I had to remember how to run the machines. I cut timber for Butler. I cut timber for Shane. And then of a night after I'd cut timber, if I didn't have something going on here, I'd go work at the plant. And then I'd come here and I'd visit and I'd pastor and do everything. So what all do I have to remember? Are you understanding me tonight? I'm just telling you, if we had the closer fellowship, if we was growing in fellowship with growing Christians, there would be a bond of unity in the church like never before that we could continue on. We still okay? They discussed the work of God. They prayed together. They discussed the burden of their heart. You go back over and read in Romans, 9:1, when Paul was told the church how he felt. Let's read it real quick. And about done. Cheryl, you get ready here in a minute. It won't be just a minute, and I'll tell you, go to the piano. And maybe we might not even sing. Look what Paul told the church in Romans 9:1. He gave his heart. Have you ever sat down and just give somebody your heart? And you wouldn't want nothing for it. You just want them to know, this is how I feel, and I need your help. Huh? But we're afraid to share anything. We've all been wounded so bad and hurt so bad in churches that we're scared to say anything. You know? But I'm determined you're not my enemy. In fact, I'm going to like you whether you want me to or not. Huh? You're not my enemy. You're my friend. You're my brother. You're my sister. Huh? Paul told the church at Rome, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I wish myself that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Listen, he was sharing what was on his heart. Coming together, growing in fellowship. Huh? Do you see that tonight? Let's look on. It says there in Acts chapter 2, breaking the bread. They're breaking the bread. They had communion. You know what communion means? It's not just to remember Christ, it was unity. That continuing in the Word of God and the fellowship is bringing unity. That they had unity around the table of the Lord. They eat their supper together, then they had communion. Huh? That's what was going on. We're still okay. Unity is a must. It's a must if we want to continue. If we want to continue on with revival. Now, if you just want to exist, just want to have church, just come on, we'll have a message here and there. Maybe somebody will wander in and get saved. Maybe some old drunk will come in, cold, and we give him something to eat, and he'll make a profession, never see him again. You know, that'll excite us a little bit. No, that ain't what we want. We want to continue. Huh? My desire for this church is that every service be blown plumb out. Every service. Huh? That when you come in, you just can't, you just beside yourself. Huh? That's what my prayer is. That the Holy Ghost moves like we don't even understand. Like what I showed you last Sunday night. That people come to the church and they say, "Why are you here?" "We don't know. We don't know. We just found ourselves here." And you say, "Well, that don't happen." Well, it's happened. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. You say, "Well, I ain't." Well, I'm sorry you ain't, but I have. And I'm telling you, that when we continue, the revival for the church ain't stoppable. It's not stopping. We're still okay. One more and we'll quit. He says, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and look here, and in prayer." That's what Doug led off with last night, wasn't it? Huh? Confidence in faith. Give yourself to serious prayer. They're going to have to pray. They prayed. They prayed. And when we pray, can I tell you how you need to pray? All right? I can't tell you what to pray. We're going to tell you how you ought to pray. You ought to pray honest. Do you pray honest? Wes, do you pray honest? Are you honest to God about you? When you pray, do you confess your sins or confess you sinned? The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if I get serious about it, I'm going to confess my sins because I know them. There might be some slip by that I don't pay attention to, but wait a minute, I'm saved. The Holy Ghost tells me. The Holy Ghost shows me. He reproves me of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what the Bible says. That's what I'm learning as I'm continuing in apostle doctrine. Huh? We okay? So I'm serious about my prayers. So I got to examine myself. I can't pray for you until I examine myself. I cannot. I've got to look at me. And I've got to be honest with God. So I've got to examine my sin. Right? I gotta be honest about my sin and honest about my feelings. See, because some of my sins got feelings attached to them. Anger. Malice. Huh? Envy. Some of them sins that we commit have feelings attached to them. And they might be against you. Huh? Now I know you would never think I would lose my temper. You've not seen me lose my temper. Cheryl's not seen me lose my temper in a long, long time. If you don't like me now, you would not like me if I lost my temper. Huh? But if I have an anger problem, it's probably not mad at me. Because if I'm angry, I probably think I'm right. I'm mad at you. Is that right? So usually when I'm angry, I'm right. Huh? Y'all not like it? Huh? I mean, I'm mad because I'm wrong. No, I'm mad because I'm right and you're wrong. And you won't believe me that I'm right. That's why I'm mad. Huh? But I can't hardly pray for you. Until I'm honest about my sin, about my feelings. How about my fears? I need to be honest about my fears. You know, there's things that frighten me. there's things that frighten me. Now, I'm not I'm not scared of a man.
No.
It'd be foolish to be scared of a man. Huh? But I'm afraid of where some of you may end up. I'm afraid of where some of your children may end up. Or I'm afraid of a decision that you're pondering on that I'm afraid for you that it's going to go bad with you if you don't pay attention. I'm afraid that if the church, Mountain State Baptist Church, don't continue on with revival, that each one is going to diminish and the church is going to continually diminish until there's nothing here but stale bread. Huh? I fear that. I fear that. I fear that compromise will try to set in. I fear that the enemy will deceive and destroy. Huh? And when I pray, God, these are things that worry and concern me, and I give them to you. This can't happen. God, help. Huh? One more. Not only my fears and it and the concerns go together, the concerns I have for you, but not just for you. I've got concerns at home. I've got concerns. I got friends out there. They're lost. They're not coming to church. If something don't happen, they're going to die and go to hell. I've got concerns there. I've got concerns all kinds. When I get serious about my prayer life, then I've got to share with God my sin and my feelings and my fears and my concern. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, there's an author that says, said that I might come to the throne of grace how? Boldly. That don't mean arrogantly and cocky. That means confident. That I come to the throne of grace in confidence and faith. We still okay? Now, what else does it say here? Let's read it back in Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to quit. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued steadfastly in the word of God, in fellowship, in unity, and in prayer. They continued that. They was consistent. They continued. They was consistent. They was consistent. They was consistent. Daniel got in trouble because he was consistent. He prayed morning, noon, and night, and he got in trouble for it. They knew. They knew that he was so consistent that they waited till the time of day of prayer. When he went up there, he was doing exactly what he had always done because he was consistent. It didn't matter about anything else. He stopped. I've told you many times, I'll tell you again tonight, Tony Hess, missionary, our missionary, you know, comes in here. His grandmother was one of my prayer warriors, Susie Hess. Some of y'all knew her. And great lady, great lady. And I went up there to visit her one time, and I seen her. She was knelt down at the couch. The storm door was or closed. The regular door was open. And I see her. She was right there. Just right there. Yeah. Never move. On her knees. So I look, make sure she's okay. And she's praying. I'd knocked on the door at prayer time. And it was near noon. And so I waited. And I waited about 30 minutes or more. Now, she was praying when I knocked on the door. And when she got up and quit, she never said a thing about prayer. She come in, she had her apron on, and she's wiping her tears. Come to the door, oh, Preacher Mark, come on in. And we thought, she never mentioned it, but she was consistent in her prayer. It didn't faze her. Did she know I was there? She could have cared less if I was there. The fellowship she was having, she didn't need to see me. Huh? But what I want you to understand, that there needs to be consistency. See, we pray like we live. Can I say that again? We pray like we live. Huh? Haphazardly. Like a cannonball on the deck of a ship rolling around. Huh? that's hit and miss. That's how we pray. It's rare that many have a time set that they're going to pray. It don't matter if the phone rings. It don't matter if somebody knocks on the door. It don't matter if the house is on fire. It don't matter. Because this is my time to pray. I'm consistent because of the necessity of me talking to God. Huh? Well, what's the result of continuing? What's the result? Draw right here. It says, and fear came upon every soul. How many is that? Is that the ones that was praying, or is that everybody around? Is everybody around? I reckon, wasn't it? It says that many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men. Every man had need, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily... Now, who else is... Who's these they? Well, them are the other ones that believed. See, them ones that believed up yonder... In the first part, they was continuing, and they people got saved, and they was believing all this and fear. Now they got to continuing, huh? And breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness, singleness of heart. And look at verse 47. What all I'm done? Praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily, just to be saved. Father, help us. We need it. Good night. We'll see you Wednesday.